dearly for reminding us that because of the blood, you and I can have forgiveness. And we come to this table humbly today because not one of us deserves salvation, but we receive it freely because of his grace. And as you see on the front of this table, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." And we find in the scripture that the Apostle Paul reminded the church at Corinth when they partook of the Lord's Supper, they were to do it in remembrance of Jesus. And that's what we gather around this table. This is not our table. This is the Lord's table. And as we gather around this table, it reminds us of what he's done for us at Calvary. The cup that we will partake of that has juice in it, it's the blood, represents the blood that was shed for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you and I, if the blood had not been shed, the perfect price had not been made, you and I would not have forgiveness today. And I thank God for the blood. And then the bread that we partake of, Jesus took that bread and he broke it and he gave his disciples and said, "This is my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And they took and ate it in remembrance of him. But that piece of bread that you'll hold in your hand in a little bit, I want you to think about what Jesus did it for us at Calvary. I want you to think about what his body went through for us. The price that he paid for us. The beatings that he took for us. The nails that were placed in his hands and his feet for us. The thorns that were put down upon his head was placed there for us. The spear that was put in his side was put there for us. He carried the cross as far as he could. And Jesus did it for us. May we never forget. He invites us to his table and reminds us of what he's done. But as we do this in remembrance of him, it reminds us of five words that describe the richness of salvation in Christ. May I give you those five words this morning? First of all, the word justification. Justification. Justification is where the sinner stands before God guilty, but is declared righteous. See, one day you and I are going to stand before the Lord. And when we stand before him, we're not going to stand there in our righteousness. Isaiah says, "Our righteousness is but filthy rags." That's all our righteousness is. But we're going to stand there in his righteousness. Listen to what the scripture says. In Romans 3:24, it says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And then we know a very familiar verse, Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We're justified by grace through faith. We're justified by that faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you what, when you stand before him one day, you're not going to be able to say, "Lord, I did this and this and this." And a lot of people think that they're going to get to heaven because if they get to heaven, there's going to be this great giant scales. And if they did more good things than bad things, God's going to say, "Come on into my heaven." But that's not going to work. We don't go to heaven because of our good works. That will never save us. And there's many religions that promote a works doctrine. But we are not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith. We're not going to get there because of baptism. By the way, you're not going to get there because your parents were Christians or because your grandparents were Christians. We're going to get there. We stand before God guilty, And one day, praise God, he's going to declare us justified. And literally, as you've heard this before, it's just as if we had never sinned. That's what God declares. And because of the blood, we can stand before him. In Romans 8, 33, that great passage, you remember it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Verse 31 and following. He says over there, he spared not his own son. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. He's the one that's going to justify us. And if you enter into heaven, you're going to enter into heaven because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and because of his precious blood that was shed for us at Calvary. We are justified by grace through faith. Justification. The next word I want to look at is the word redemption. The word redemption. Redemption is where the sinner stands before God as a slave, but is granted freedom. Where you and I, before we came to Christ, we are a slave to sin. We were dead, according to Ephesians 2. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We were controlled by the enemy, the devil, before we came to Christ. But praise God what he did for us in redemption. The Puritan Thomas Watson rightly said, and I quote, great was the work of creation, but greater the work of redemption. It costs more to redeem us than to make us, in that there was just the speaking of the word whenever we were made, but as we were redeemed, there was the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, his very own blood that was shed for us. Redemption is a term that shares with us the cost of salvation. That means that you and I, it costs Jesus his very life. It costs Jesus his very blood to redeem us from the slave market of sin. That word redeemed means to purchase by paying a ransom or deliver by the payment of a price. You and I know quite well, according to the Old Testament, with the way they took care of their sin was the sacrifice of animals. And throughout the book of Hebrews over and over again reminds us that Jesus is better than anything else. He's better than any prophet. He's better than any high priest. He is greater than all. And over there in Hebrews, listen to what it says in Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. You know as well as I do that day after day the priest would have to sacrifice animals. People would have to bring an animal. And if they sinned, they brought an animal and they sacrificed that animal. It meant the covering of their sin. And we know, according to the Old Testament, that the high priest would go once into the Holy of Holies to make atonement for the sins of the people. And he would take the blood of a lamb that was that without blemish and without spot, a lamb that was set apart for the temple, that was perfect lamb that had no spot or blemish in it, and he would sacrifice that lamb and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and it covered their sin. In fact, whenever the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he was careful to not go in there with sin in his life, because if he did, he would die right there on the spot. But you and I know that blood, that's the redemption price. That it costs Jesus that we could have life eternal. Thank God for the blood. The blood that cleanses us. Precious. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. No other fountain, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you and I can be thankful today that he was willing to shed his blood. The perfect price had to be paid of a perfect lamb, and that lamb was Jesus. Do you remember when John saw Jesus? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the people." He was the Lamb. And as you see the vision that John the Apostle saw in the book of the Revelation, he sees the Lamb, and the Lamb is seated on the throne, the Lamb who shed his blood for us. And one day we will bow down before that Lamb, and we will praise him for our redemption. But by the way, don't wait till then. We ought to do it today, amen? The third word I want you to see is the word forgiveness. Forgiveness is where the sinner stands before God as a debtor, but the debt is paid and forgotten. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 is a very familiar passage to us, but it reminds us of what the Lord has done for us. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then when it talks about how we've been chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, and then verses 13 and 14, it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Praise God that he forgives us, folks. I want you to know, listen to me. I know there's some today saying, well, there's some things I've done I can't believe that God would ever forgive me. When I go to prison, preach at prison, I don't ask those men what they did. Because see, it really doesn't matter what they did. What matters is what the Lord did at Calvary for them. What matters is his blood can cover any sin. The only sin that God will not forgive is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, of rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only sin. That's the unpardonable sin. But every other sin, think about it in the Bible. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Moses did not walk well with God many times, and he committed even the sin of murder himself as he killed the Egyptian. We find the Apostle Paul, he was a persecutor of the church and became a proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God, the Word of God, tells us the whole truth and tells us nothing but the truth, that these men were saved not because of their goodness, but because of the grace of God. They had forgiveness and God used them. They had a debt they could not pay, and God paid for their debt, and the debt was paid with the precious blood of Jesus. May I remind you this morning that 1 Peter chapter 1 says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. In other words, we can't redeem ourselves by giving more money in the offering plate or by giving more to this or giving more to this or being charitable. We don't redeem ourselves. See, listen to me. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. Excuse me. The Pharisees said, hey, we've done the tithe. They would go into their garden and pull off just a tenth of everything of their garden to the last little inch. They would give of their tithes. They would follow the prayers on busy street corners. Remember what Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And it says, many will say unto me, catch this, many will say unto me in those days, did I not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name did many wonderful works? And the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you, you that work iniquity. In other words, one day, the Lord's going to say, depart from me. You say, well, didn't I teach a Sunday school class? Wasn't I a deacon in the church? Wasn't I sang in the choir? I visited people at homebound. Those things do not save us. We're saved by the grace of God, and we're forgiven because of his precious blood. It says we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, 1 Peter, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's how we're redeemed. The fourth word I want you to see is the word adoption. The sinner stands before God as a debtor, as a stranger, but is made a son. I tell you what, I don't know about you, I'm thankful for that. Over in Romans chapter 8, it reminds us of that, what God has done for us. Therefore, verse 12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But you through the Spirit do mortify or do kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank God, because of the blood of Jesus, we have been adopted into the family of God. We don't deserve that adoption. We were strangers, but God made us a son through the blood of Jesus. And the last word I want you to see is the word reconciliation. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to Colossians real quick. Colossians, we've been studying Colossians on Wednesday night. I hope if you haven't joined us, you would join us soon, because we're at the end of chapter 1. We hadn't quite finished chapter 1. But in Colossians, we're reminded of this wonderful idea of reconciliation. Notice what the scripture says in verse 20 of chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled in him. In other words, that word reconciliation, the sinner stands before God as an enemy, but he becomes God's friend. We are reconciled. See, the word reconcile is when one party and another party are at odds with each other, and God is the one that brings them together. Thank God that we were at odds with him because we were an enemy of God. We were at enmity with God because of our sin, because of our sin nature. But praise God, he has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And in fact, that word reconcile there, a lot of the times you'll see the word katalazo, and that's the word for reconcile. But the word here in Colossians is the word katalazo. In other words, it intensifies, adverb, intensifies the meaning, that preposition. It means thoroughly we are reconciled. Completely we are reconciled. Totally we are reconciled because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Thank God for the reconciliation that he has done for us. The peace has been made between God and man because reconciliation. But why did he reconcile us? Now, I tell you, God's ultimate goal was to present his elect holy and pure before him. Now, I know many of you are saying, now hold it, Pastor. There's no way I'm going to be holy and pure before him. But I want you to know that's God's work, not our work. You can't make yourself holy. Only God can. You can't make yourself pure. Notice back in that text it says that in the body, look at verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy. That word holy is the word hagios in the Greek language. It means to be separated from sin and set apart for God. We're to be holy. That's the aim of reconciliation. We're to be blameless. The word anamos there means without blemish. In the Old Testament, I told you how the sacrifices had to be a spotless lamb. And Jesus was the perfect sacrifice because he was the spotless lamb of God. God sent Jesus and he died on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice that would make, that could reconcile man who was at enmity with God and bring them together. Because this is what the scripture says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That means eternal separation from God. That means if you never come to the Lord, you're eternally separated and spend eternity in hell. But thank God you don't have to be that way. You can be brought in. He will make you holy. He will make you blameless. And he will make you beyond reproach, without blemish. And no longer, listen to me, I got good news this morning. No longer can Satan accuse us before God. When we stand before God one day, he's going to declare us righteous. When we stand before God one day, because of the work of Calvary, we will be redeemed. We will be bought with a price. When we stand before God one day, we will be forgiven. When we stand before God one day, we will be adopted into his forever family. And we stand before God, we'll be reconciled before him. That's what this table means. But see, it's not just enough to know that in your mind. You must receive that in your heart. Remember what I said? Many will say unto that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? The question is, do you truly know the Lord? Not do you know about him in your head, but do you have him in your heart? Has he forgiven you of your sin? I've got good news today. He will forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed to this day. He will give you a brand new start. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper as the deacons come at this time. And after we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to this table. Because see, this table demands a response from every one of us in this place. Not only for lost people to come to Christ, but for saved people to get right with God and to understand that he didn't die in vain. Jesus didn't die in vain. This table says that God loves us, but we ought to say to him, we love him. May we never forget that. Let's take a moment to reflect. Search our hearts. May we be like the psalmist that says, search me, O God, and know me, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God today is here searching the hearts, our hearts, making sure they're right with him. Father, I pray that the meditation, the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would be acceptable unto you. None of us deserve to take the Lord's Supper, but we don't take it because of our being deserving. We take it because of your grace and your love that was shown for us at Calvary. May we never forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned the bread that you hold in your hand, symbolic of the body of Jesus that was broken for us. The Bible says his face was marred more than anyone's face could be marred. I'm sure when they put that crown of thorns down, those thorns were not just little bitty thorns, they were big thorns. They had whipped him with a cat of nine tails, which is a whip made of sharpened pieces of lead and sharpened pieces of bone. And they would put him on the scourging post with their arms over their head. And one Roman soldier would be on one side and one on the other side. And every time they whipped him, it would take off more flesh. Many a person would not come off the scourging post without being disemboweled. Crucifixion was the cruelest of all deaths. The purpose was to exact maximum punishment before death. Again, Jesus did that. Why? because he loves us. Never forget that he loves you. And never forget what he did for you at Calvary. But Justin, would you pray?
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now. God, just in all of the love that you have for us and the fact that you sent your son, not only did he die on the cross for us, but he went through such tremendous pain. And God, we thank you that he was willing to do that for each and every one of us. And God, may we never forget the price that was paid for us at Calvary, that we would have new life again when we put our trust in you. We just pray now you just bless this time as we continue to partake of the Lord's Supper, which in your name we pray. Amen.
He took the bread and he broke it, signifying the broken body that he was going to have for us. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. This do in remembrance of me." That same night he took the cup, this cup with juice in it, has no saving power by drinking it, but it represents the blood of Jesus. It represents the innocent blood of Jesus. Remember, he was without sin, and all of our sin was placed on him at the cross. That's the reason he said from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because God, who is holy, could not stand to look on your sin and my sin that was placed on Jesus at the cross. And on that night, he took the cup, that blood that was innocent blood, but praise God, it was perfect blood. It was the perfect sacrifice to make atonement for our sins. It's powerful blood. May I tell you that the blood that was shed over 2,000 years ago is still saving people today. Praise God for that. You and I can claim the blood of Jesus in our life for victory. He took it and he blessed it. Brother Brian, would you bless the cup?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross and shed his blood for us, Lord. We just thank you that the blood he shed for us saves us, Lord. Lord, we know that we are not worthy of this, but because of your love, you gave it for us, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you bless this today as we partake of your blood. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Took the cup and he blessed and he gave it to his disciples and said, take, drink. This is the blood of the New Testament. This do in remembrance of me. The Bible says they sang a hymn. Would you join us as we sing unto the Lord? So thankful for what Jesus did for us at Calvary, that we could have eternal life. For some here today, maybe you've never genuinely met the Lord. Maybe he's in your head, but not your heart. Maybe you met him recently, and you need to come forward this morning and make a profession of faith and follow the Lord in baptism. But I really believe maybe God is speaking to some who need the Lord so desperately today. And I invite you to come and take a pastor by the hand. And all you got to do is just say, "Pastor, I need the Lord." And we'll sit down and explain to you how you can invite Jesus into your life to be your Savior and Lord. It's a gift of eternal life. You don't earn or deserve it. It's freely given today. We invite you to come. There's others here that have been coming to our church visiting, and God has led you our way for a reason, for a purpose. And maybe today is the day for you to come and join the church. Be a part of this fellowship. One thing I'll promise you is that we will continue to lift up the Word of God. We will continue to lift up the name of Jesus. And we'll continue to look beyond the doors of this church to a lost and dying world and minister to those who are in need. And God will use us and bless us mightily. That's the church that we invite you to come be a part of. Maybe there's someone here today that you know the Lord, but you have gotten out of His will and out of His way. Maybe today is the day for you to rededicate your life, to get right with Him today. Whatever God's calling you to do, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm just a proclaimer of the truth. The Holy Spirit is the one that's drawing you. If you feel that tug right now in your life, that's the Holy Spirit. All I ask you to do is listen as He calls you. Father, I thank You for the privilege we have of being here today. Thank You for the privilege that we can gather around this table to remember what You did for us at Calvary. And may we never forget that sacrifice that was paid for us. I pray for the one here that needs Jesus the most. You've already told them they need Jesus. I pray they'd be obedient to come forward this morning. I pray for those who need to join this church, they would come today. We give You this time now.